I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars in a hotel room in Dover.
I feel like I'm in an uncle's house that I don't go that often.
Yeah. So, for context, we're in the same room as each other for once, and it's the morning after the first ever Late Break Show live event in Kent, and we are in a hotel, in Dover. The decor of this room is...
Late Uncle Spec?
Late Uncle, yes. He didn't buy furniture in the last 30 years because, well, you know, he never knew when he might be off. What would I need with new furniture?
Well, he spent more money on cruising instead.
Yeah, cruising or cruises.
Yes,
both. Bathroom is particularly special. If you remember the late 80s, so do people who go into my bathroom here. It's Sunday morning. Yesterday, we spent all day at, what's it called? Betts Hanger Park.
It's a country park in Kent near Sandwich.
Is it near Sandwich or nearer to Deal?
It might be equidistant to
Deal. Yeah, well, I drove through Deal last night.
I've never been to Deal.
How did you get here from there?
I don't know. I don't know if I went through Deal.
You were very tired.
To be honest, I'm quite... If you can tell, my voice might be a bit croaky, but... And you know when you're running on empty for a prolonged amount of time and you've just got to get there?
You've had a single digit amount of sleep, haven't you?
It's been really challenging, yeah. I didn't realise quite how hard it was to put an event on. I've worked at events, we both have, loads, but you're just a hired gun. When the event sort of falls to your feet, the buck stops at you, that's quite a different beast. And you're putting your own money into it, that's a very different beast.
I think, without wishing to speak out of turn, it was a great success.
Would you have said that it was a reasonable success on that side of things?
If we're talking about success, then I would say, on that side of things, tick. No, it was great. I mean,
it was Bijou, but it was.
Well, how many people were there? It was a decent sized crowd.
Maybe 500, maybe 400.
That's more than you could fit in a.
What, in a transit tornado?
I was going to say a minibus, even a really big one, even one with dually back wheels.
Well, one of the ones you get driving around LA saying, that's Leo DiCaprio, Leonardo DiCaprio's house. You know those ones?
Yeah, or that sort of, those ones where they go, they'll go, over that wall, Robert De Niro lives there. But it's the ones where they go, this house here, Robin Williams once went there to buy drugs.
It's just dark, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Just
Michael Keaton high-sided off his hired motorcycle this street in 89.
Just 20 years later, Robin Williams died. not even that. There was a healthy-sized crowd.
It was a prototype event, really.
Yeah. But it had... some very nice cars to look at that you'd organised. And then in the sort of, I was going to say VIP parking, it wasn't, was it? But sort of you had an interesting car you could park.
You had display car parking. Near the arena. And then you had, I've just turned up in a car and I don't want anyone to see it.
Yeah.
Which is your normal general parking.
Including, I was told last night there was a chap in a McLaren.
There was a chap in an orange McLaren.
No, I just want to go in normal parking, please. I don't want to. Maybe he just didn't want people pouring at his car, but.
Yeah.
Not that there was any pawing, because one of the great things about yesterday, and what I really enjoyed, was the feeling that it was just a whole gathering of like-minded people.
Everybody
was there for the cars and the love of cars and just chatting shit about cars.
People were just very jolly.
Yeah.
And the weather was interesting. I think gazebos were challenged.
Yes, you were pushing the envelope on gazebos.
But the weather did kind of hold out. It wasn't terrifically bad.
Well, the last thing I put in the car before I left my house in London yesterday morning was my Wellingtons, because it was raining so hard in London. The forecast was so bad for down here. I just thought, and we're standing basically in a field. So I'm going to chuck my wellies in the car just in case. What I'm not going to bring is sun cream. That's going to be unnecessary. I'm now as ruddy-faced as some kind of medieval simpleton.
You've got wavy boots and bad face sometimes. You basically look like a Tory.
Ruddy-faced and Wellington shod.
Actually, to that end, did you have to grab the Wellingtons at the last minute because it's part of the immobiliser system of a Land Rover?
Yeah, won't start unless there's a substantial amount of rubber footwear somewhere in the passenger compartment. The weather was, I think, the sun shines on the righteous and so many nice people gathered to see in the inaugural Late Break Live that the sun came out and I got sunburned. But
yeah, it was weird, wasn't it? I just want to say thanks to everyone. There were a few Patreons there, and we tried to have a good chat with as many people as possible. We tried to bring all the playlists of my YouTube channel to life and the element of Smith and Sniff to life. We had what can only be described as a sort of 1/10 scale, let's say 1/10 scale, what's the name of that? A pyramid stage at Glastonbury. Yeah. I'd say that's that.
Do you know what it reminded me of? I thought it was more like a sort of 3/4 scale Radio 1 roadshow.
Oh, yeah. From the 80s.
It was basically sort of that thing we sat in on your famous chairs.
Yes.
Was sort of, you could imagine it being repurposed as the temporary office of a building firm on their new development. And they'd have the show home next door. Yes.
Plastic plants.
Yeah. So it's sort of basically a trailer with
opening French doors.
Yeah. And we sat in there, but obviously the doors opened.
It was quite Alan Partridge spec, actually.
It was a bit.
You can imagine it had some sort of Norfolk Radio decals that were hastily peeled off.
And we did a Q&A with the audience, and we did a quiz. I wrote a quiz, a very nerdy quiz. Yeah. And I enjoyed the quiz. I was a bit worried it was too hard, but then we had some feedback. One guy apparently said to your wife that the quiz was really hard. She went, was it too hard? And he went, no, I like the fact I almost couldn't get any of the questions because it was challenging.
Oh.
There was a nice old man, though, who asked for my advice about what car he should buy for his delayed midlife crisis. He wants a 2-seater convertible. And so we chatted through it a bit and had a good old sort of biff about with some of the choices there. But when he approached me, he went, your quiz, I couldn't get anything. It was too difficult. It was impossible. And so we had a good old chat. He's a very genial older man, bearing this in mind. At the end of it, he went, thank you so much for your advice, but fuck you for your quiz.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with a smile on his face. It was a delight. We did a quiz, and then we chatted to Jimmy DeVille off the telly.
Yeah, from Goblin Works Garage. And Jimmy's great. I've worked with him for a few years. And ex-military, ex-sort of special effects, ex-almost dying on various inventions.
I won't spoil it because you've got a video coming out, haven't you? We filmed that interview on stage.
So. Yeah, we did a live idle chat on the Brown Shares, and so Rich was asking questions as well as me, and that will be coming out on a vid. And actually, there will have already been a vid by the time you listen to this.
Will it?
On the show.
This is going out tomorrow morning.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, or tonight, actually, for Patreon.
It's 3 days later.
It's quite hard to know what day it is.
Thanks to some car manufacturers for letting me kind of blag them along to bring a car for display. I wanted to bring some significant new cars along. I wanted to bring some barn finds along.
The barn find area was nice because you'd thrown down some...
I insisted on straw. My wife, Chops, went, don't be an idiot. No, why are you putting straw down? It's just pointless. At this late in the day when we're trying to organise so many logistics, why are you looking for straw bales? I said, I want straw.
Detail. It's important. I didn't get a chance to have a really good look at that barn find Allegro that you
I thought down. That would be the one that you would home in on.
Well, but I didn't actually look at a lot of the cars on display as much as I'd like to have done because it was like we were just chatting to people the whole time. Yeah. If we weren't chatting, we were on stage talking bollocks. For the wider crowd, but
and to that end, we also had fresh, new, never seen before merchandise.
Oh, yes,
Sniff merch, and of course, because it's our podcast, bugger me, I'm going to plug it.
Yeah, well, we should have checked this with your wife before we started, but the merchandise was on sale at the live event for the first time, but it's going to go into an e-shop this week.
It will be this week. Yeah,
I can't remember where I've put mine. Because that's the thing, the shelves of all this stuff, Apparently, On That Side of Things t-shirt was the best selling.
It was, out of everything.
It is fantastic.
Hashtag Otsot.
Hashtag Otsot t-shirt. Which is just... I didn't know as well, because there was so much back and forth and it was all in a bit of a rush. And bless her, your wife just was working so hard to get all that merch ready for the Late Break Show and Smith & Sniff. But... So there was a lot of back and forth on emails, and I just remember being a nuisance and going, no, not like that, to change it. And but I didn't know that they were having the Spolt stickers made.
Yeah, Spolt.
Spolt.
And it was, and I, at one point, Chops was like, it's too long. We can't have it. We can't have it. So can I just take 3 A's out? And I went, oh, Rick. And then we all sat there, and she went, Rich is really quite specific about that. So he said, we can't take 4 A's out. So we did
compromised it too. Take a couple out. The thing is, the spelling of sports at obviously is quite fluid, because I were you asked to write it? And anyone, I signed some stuff, and a couple of people said, can you write sports? And I was like, I just make up the spelling each time.
I sometimes go A-U-G-H-T.
Yes, I've done that. I did one yesterday. I signed, because you had... Ian Cook, Pop Band Colour, people might know as the guy who does...
The artist with
car art.
With our RC cars and toy cars. Yeah. Brilliant.
And he was down there with his art car, his mobile studio. And
it's a free Chevy Spark.
Yeah.
I know. That Chevrolet gave him when Chevrolet pulled out of Chevrolet UK.
Did they just give it to him and say, that's yours?
He was borrowing it because he was doing stuff for Chevy.
Okay.
And when Chevrolet started closing down... He obviously still had it. The gearbox failed on it. He phoned them up and said, I'm really sorry, but I think there's a sort of, there's a warranty issue. The gearbox is broken. And by the way, do you want the car back? And they went, what's the problem with the gearbox? He said, it's just won't select a gear anymore. And they just went, it's just much easier if you keep the car. So he got given a 2-year-old Spark with a broken gear. And he said, so I paid £1,500 to put a new gearbox in it.
Oh,
because he said it was essentially a brand new free art car that I'd already decked out as my little mobile studio. Yeah. You've got to see this thing. It's great. It's like it's a Bijou studio.
Yeah, if you go to Pop Band Colours, I guess Instagram, or he's on Twitter, I think, still. And
Instagram, definitely.
On there. And Ian, lovely chap, by the way, really, really top chap. And he was there all day doing... bit of drawing and a bit of selling his various stickers and posters and all that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, he said, would you sign the sun visors in my free show? I didn't know it was a free show Spark. I was wondering why he still had
it. It's even better now, isn't it, though?
But he said, could you write sport? And there was enough space because Jimmy had signed sun visors already and done a little drawing of himself for some reason. And I think there was a gap at the bottom of the sun visor. So Ian went, could you write sport?
Yeah, yeah.
But I had plenty of real estate the whole length of the sun visor. So I did a few AUGs, and then a hyphen. Sports. Those stickers are good. And then you showed me that guy you'd encountered who stuck it straight on the back of his transit.
He had a transit, and he was a bit annoyed. He was like, I want you to do a transit sticker. Is that something that you can do? Maybe we can do a transit.
The live event was a sort of trial run, and I think the merch was a trial run to see what people might want. Because I don't know, it's hard to tell, isn't it? On the one hand, I go, nobody's going to want any of our...
Who wants a travel mug which says Smith & Sniff on it? I don't know.
But I saw people buying them. And I signed one for a kid.
I signed a few.
Which was nice. And so what was I going to say? I can't remember what I was going to say. What point I was lurching towards about... Oh, well... Just on the note of, on that side of things, the cars in the sort of display area was the most brilliant and eclectic group of cars I've ever seen. I took one photo. I didn't take enough photos yesterday because I was too busy.
I didn't. I'm annoyed at myself. So if anyone took some, if anyone did come, can you let me know?
I did take one photo that I think sort of summed up the event, which I put on social today, but of a Nissan GTR parked next to a Hillman Imp.
Yeah.
With a Ford Escort Mark II in the background.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that summed it up. But there was...
I had a Taycan Turbo S next to a Thailand tuk-tuk.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And then there was a Smart Roadster next to one of those Honda S660s.
Yes.
And that was a nice thing to see.
That was a great thing.
And that chap with, and he's only a student, or he's just graduated, who had Peter Sisson's old Volvo V70 T5.
Yeah.
In incredible nick, and with a great spec with the sat-nav that rises out of the dash like they used to on those Volvos.
It's 20 years old, that car, isn't it?
Yeah, and a wired-in phone.
Yeah, with a speaker in the headrest for your for your wired phone.
Or incredible. It was, just imagine Peter Sisson's, and apparently this guy was saying he's got all the receipts. He bought it off Peter Sisson's widow. He's got all the receipts, and he said the Sisson's seemed to get slightly taken for a ride by the Volvo garage.
What on the options?
No, well, it was optioned up to the hill, but also the servicing and stuff. Because at one point there's a receipt because Sisson's had taken it back and said the aircon wasn't blowing as cold as it did last week. They took the whole bloody dashboard out, charged it by 1,500 quid or something.
To people that don't know who Peter Sisson's is, now he was a newsreader.
He's a newsreader, yeah.
For many years.
Yeah.
And was he BBC or was he Channel 4?
He was BBC, but I wonder, did he do the flip to ITV? No, I think he was BBC through and through.
Yeah.
And very he was like, classic newsreader.
When I was growing up, he was the one that my dad would always watch.
Mm.
So I've grown up knowing, and now knowing that he loves a well-specced estate, because apparently he had prior to that, he had other Volvo or fast estates.
That's the thing, I like the idea that you'd expect a solid newsman of Sisson's pedigree, Volvo V70, yes, reassuring, reliable, sturdy. But then the T5, cheeky.
He needs to get about.
There's some news over there. I need to get to it fast.
Fetch me
with the wired phone going, I'm on the way to the news.
That is really good. What made all of this a little bit more stressful than what was already stressful was that the week before, and you can't make this shit up, the week before the Late Break Show Live, my wife broke her leg while we were on holiday having what was hopefully going to be a relaxing walk by the sea. She took the late break thing to a literal end of like, I am actually going to break something. But so I took her to a hospital while we were in Devon, small hospital, and she was in a queue of three people waiting to be seen. And
sorry, for some reason this seems to be recording on my computer, not on the microphone, silly twat. Let me just try.
That's okay, isn't it?
Well.
Let's what, you mean that mic's not working?
No, well, I've just switched it to the mic now, so maybe this will sound a bit better from now on, but that was just... Why is it doing that?
You vag flannel.
I just had this sudden feeling that something... It's okay, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Everything's fine.
It's fine.
You sound like John Peel on that really bad stunt crash with the Noel Edmonds late break.
You know how that was clipped out? And you just see the crash of the Jensen.
He's okay. Everything's okay.
Well, yeah, Peel sounds uncertain. I watched all of that episode because I've just written a story for the Road Rap magazine about Noel Edmonds.
Oh.
And I watched the whole of that episode of the Late Breakfast Show because I was trying to just get a vibe for Noel in the 80s. And, well, it's a brilliant exercise in 80s TV, but... It is.
It's so dangerous. Like, you can't believe how dangerous it is.
Peel is obviously not entirely comfortable with what's going on.
No, he knows someone's really hurt.
And that Jensen crash is massive and horrific. And I think the guy was okay, well, in as much as he lived, but he was pretty banged up. But it's Edmund's reaction back in the studio. He goes, well, we're told he's okay. And then pulls a funny face and sort of does it like a comedy bit. And then goes, anyway, next week we've got Aha in the studio or something like that. And just moves on. And I don't think you're treating this with the gravity it deserves.
No. The guy with the escort definitely broke his pelvis.
Yes.
And his legs.
Yeah. Oh, is it that? Maybe that was the guy who got
If you're a Patreon, we'll put a link to this little video clip from 80s television in. Because it's quite unbelievable how fast someone might drive at a ramp in a scrap... Escort, then is it a Jensen Healey or an Interceptor?
A Jensen Interceptor, yeah.
I mean, like, you hit a ramp at about 80 miles an hour when the landing is old cars piled up or tarmac, and the crowd is about 12 feet away.
I know, well, that's...
There's no distance between the crowd and the landing.
That's... The escort flies off into the crowd.
Yep.
And then they go back to the studio. This is all live.
Yeah.
And they go back to the studio in London, and there's some more stuff happens there. And then they go back, and it's John Peel. It's surreal in itself that John Peel is the on-the-spot reporter.
Yeah.
And And he says, oh, sorry for the next round, but the crowd have been moved back. And it's like, but they haven't. They've been moved back about 3 feet by the looks of it.
Just so it's okay. Because
mind-bogglingly dangerous. But that's, we realise how, you know, some people go, oh, is health and safety gone mad? You go, sometimes health and safety is a good thing because it stops people getting maimed and killed.
Yeah.
Which used to happen in the
80s. In the 80s.
Well, as the Late Late Breakfast Show proved, because then it had to be taken off air because a contestant died in rehearsals.
My name of my YouTube channel might have been influenced by it, but probably not. Probably more American chat shows. However, what I was saying about my wife, the reason why I was saying this is while she was queuing up to be looked at in hospital, there were two other people there, and there was an old lady in a dressing gown who was actually very friendly, but couldn't fill in any of the forms to identify to the hospital, what was wrong with her, where she lived, all her medical history. So she kindly asked my wife, who'd just broken her leg and was sitting in a chair quivering, could you just fill out this form for me? So my wife filled out all this form with intimate details of a strange woman. Anyway, she just casually mentioned to me, she said, have you parked in the car park on the corner? I said, yeah. She said, oh, my husband's around there waiting for me. He's in a yellow Honda Jazz. Could you just go and say to him, I'm going to be quiet some time. And I went, yeah, I can do that. And I went over to him, and he was actually just sitting in the car listening to some Radio 4. And he laughed. He went, okay. And I went back, and the lady, I think, was quite badly hurt. But anyway, I said, yeah, he's there. I found the Honda Jazz, couldn't miss it. She goes, yeah, I love that car. She said, although I was in hospital a couple of months ago. It's a fairly long story, but I got trapped underneath it.
What?
And the air ambulance came, and they couldn't. The air ambulance came because the fire brigade couldn't get me out from underneath it. So in the end, the doctor did. I know. And then just sort of paused and went, anyway, I hope your wife's going to be okay. And I was just left with this cliffhanger of a weird Honda Jazz. I know. I went away and sat in the car with the kids, and I pointed at a man who is now fully asleep with his mouth open. Inhaling the world.
Why was he waiting in the car and not with his injured wife?
Well, that's what I thought. I think he just couldn't be bothered. He was a very jolly old man, but I think, I've been married for 60 years, she'll live.
Yeah, we have to sit there so they talk at me again.
But then I did look inside the Jazz because I wanted to try and see if it was auto or manual. Mm. And I thought, has she done a Brian Harvey?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And she left it in D, like, and then just come off the brake, and it's crept whilst she was one leg out.
Yeah.
And then she's tumbled out slowly, and then it's rolled in D over her leg.
Yeah.
And then it's just sat there sort of labouring on D.
I've read this somewhere. Good old
Devon, I love Devon.
This is, it might have been like Honest John or someone giving this advice, that it's quite common in later life, people go, oh, I'll just get an auto, make my life easier. First auto they've had, you know, if they're proper old school, they've driven manuals their whole life. Yeah. Don't trust an auto. Oh, it's probably time to go, I'll get an auto, just be easier.
Yeah.
And I think it was Honest John was sort of cautioning against it, because he said there are a lot of accidents with elderly drivers caused by them accidentally mashing the accelerator. And then, if they're in their old manual car, they would sort of panic but instinctively drop the clutch.
Oh.
And therefore, you know, then the sort of the car wouldn't be hurtling towards, I don't know, the sea or their spouse or a wall. And in an auto, their left leg is just flailing about doing nothing, and they're still then, and then they're confused and they're still piling towards whatever is there.
With the revs on.
Absolutely pinging off the limiter. Or it's changed up into fourth because it gave such a lick on. And it's so, yeah, he was cautioning against elderly people having automatics,
basically. I think it would be good to probably give them a course in it. Just to say, look, it's clearly not a manual. There's two pedals, not three. Mm. Don't use your left leg for anything.
Mm.
In fact, let's say your car had run you over a couple of months prior. Then you've got I don't know what's got on.
I'm so baffled by that. The fire brigade couldn't get the car off her.
This is what she said.
But then a doctor, who was presumably the Hulk, turned up.
And the doctor was left to actually get me out. The doctor got me out, not the fire brigade. But then said it's so casual, with a small pause and then a smile. I think she was in a lot of pain with whatever she'd... I think she'd fallen over in the bathroom that morning. So she was in a pink dressing gown with flip-flops on.
I'm going to be intrigued by
I hope she's okay. I mean, I don't want to...
You and your wife seem to attract people who need help filling in forms, because you had that lady at the airport when you lost your passport.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And now you're attracting a nice old lady in a dressing room.
She emailed to thank me, didn't she? To say that I'm so glad I got on that flight. Thanks to your help filling out forms. No one's ever wanted me to fill out a form for them.
I've never been asked to fill out a form for anyone, as far as I can remember, but you know, like my children or something.
I've got a face for that, I think.
You've got a form-filling face?
I've got a form-filling face, I worry.
Triple F. I'm distracted over here on the... what do you call this? Desk, I suppose.
I'd say it's signboard. It's
the discarded packet from yesterday's triumphant three-pack of off-brand Spoke socks.
It's no name Spoke socks.
That I got from a rural Welsh supermarket last week. And we went on holiday to Wales and we were in this little supermarket.
Did your wife break a limb?
She didn't. Okay. But you sent me that message going, Chops just broken her leg on a beach walk.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, how quickly these things can happen.
Yeah.
Because I went for a run down the beach. And I don't often take my phone with me when I go running, but I take my phone because I felt like if I got lost, it might be useful to have a map.
Were you playing the prolonged piano intro to Baywatch? You know, the one with the waves crashing in with the... with the drums?
No, I wasn't, but I had a playlist just of up-tempo music on shuffle. And Keep the Faith by Bon Jovi came on. I've mentioned this somewhere before. It's not a particular secret, but the intro to that song inspired the intro to the Grand Tour theme music.
Did it?
Yeah, because we were debating what the music should be like, and I went, Jeremy was going, it needs to sort of build, it needs to have a soft start and then build, and it's got to have this sense of sort of driving and movement, and you know, and we were all sort of trying to express ourselves without actually being able to play any kind of music.
Were you all in like a school music room? It's kind of sound like this, and Jeremy grabs a lute and just does it like a quick
thing. No, hey, hang on, get this old piano dusted off. We were sitting in a Winnebago on a farm in near... where's that big tunnel? Hatfield.
Oh yeah. Oh nice.
We did a little trial run of the Grand Tour tent on a farm in Hatfield. Like just had some space to put the tent up and do a little test thing. And because there was nothing except a barn next door, we got a Winnebago as a production office.
They should do a, because of not being able to travel much, they should do a Grand Tour big tent just in Hatfield to pay homage to the prototype.
I said to them, particularly when they don't use the tents, so I was like, these tents, you could hire them. There's two of them as well, because when they were doing the big world tour for the first series, the one tent would be being set up in one location while they were using the other one, so the tents leapfrogged each other around the world. They're two identical tents.
Hang on. I know someone that's just started doing a live event.
Oh, yeah.
With cars.
You could have the Grand Tour. I don't even know where they are. It's a mystery.
Could you have a word with
them? I'm sure they would. Can they
hire a really large man with a mallet as well?
Yeah. Do you know what? Those tents were quite complicated. I imagine they cost
quite a lot. It's basically a circus big top.
But they had the floor was quite complicated because they'd originally said, can we have one spot that's strong enough to take a car? And then somebody said, no, that's too restrictive. I think probably the studio director, Brian, said, it would be great to be able to just put a car anywhere because we just don't know where we might want to put it for whatever editorial we've yet to come up with.
Yeah.
So the whole floor was made strong enough to take a car.
Wow.
But it can be stuck in a field or anywhere. You know, we're stuck in the desert.
They're not using these. They should hire
them. I know. Well, I said that. I went to weddings, bar mitzvahs, funerals, whatever. Yeah. Just these tents could be earning you money. But
bear in mind now, a shoddy camper van is worth eight times more. A shoddy camper van is worth more than...
Glamping in the Grand Tour tent. A bit weird, a bit too big. But anyway.
People are swapping villas in Portugal for a Bedford Rascal Roma.
I know, and for the same money.
Yeah.
Probably. So anyway, we were having this debate about music, and I don't know what it should sound like, and I played everyone the intro to Keep the Faith, and everyone went, oh, it is sort of that, isn't it? Yeah, so it's like, and that's, if you listen to the Grand Tour theme.
That's cool.
That's how it starts. But Keep the Faith came on, I was running down the beach, and the weather had turned a bit, and it was slightly rainy, it was all sort of sea mist, and it was grey, but it was quite dramatic, the waves were really crashing in, and I'm tearing down this beach, and I started singing out loud because there's no one around.
Yeah.
So I was just because my wife once said to me, she said, if you listen to music and you're out running, do you ever sing along? And I was like, well, no, because I'm running through like urban areas.
Everyone, or you're running with a stitch, which is what I would be doing.
Well, that's the thing. I didn't even know that I could do this, but I was just, I didn't sing the whole song, but I was just like, just it was because it just sort of was so energizing. It's a very energizing song.
Yeah.
So when it got to the chorus, I was like, "Fade, everybody!" I was right because I had the privacy to do that in this vast, deserted Welsh beach.
I'll be there. I'll be there.
Yeah, I should have done the Baywatch theme tune, but I didn't think of that. Well, what were we talking about? Oh no! It's the socks.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
we went to the Gower Peninsula, and there's a little supermarket as you sort of get onto the peninsula. And we went to stock up before we went to our mate's static caravan where we're staying. And I spotted the generic Spoke socks.
Spoke crown.
And took a picture of them, which I sent to you. Yeah. And then you went, you'd better buy some.
Yeah.
So on the way back home.
You bought some.
Well, I said, I'm going to pop into the supermarket on the way back to get, because I actually wanted to get, there's a local beer that's really nice. So I wanted to go and get some more of the local beer.
You know what you're doing.
To take home. But actually, I really want to get the socks. And they'd moved them from when I was in there before.
Oh, shit.
So I found myself like some kind of deranged supermarket sweep, just running around the supermarket looking for these socks while everyone else waited in the car.
Looking for white.
Found them. So I put a pair on yesterday for the Late Break Show
you
Live.
You did. I love the fact you're wearing white generic sports socks.
Brought a pair for you, which you're now wearing today.
I'm wearing them today for the cast.
No, yeah. It's only when we looked at the packet last night, they were discovered. I thought they were pure poly. They were like synth socks because they're, you know, cheap. They were £3 for a pack of three.
So they're a pound each.
But they're not. It turns out they're 80% cotton, only 15% polyester, and then the mysterious 5% mixed fibres. I don't know what that means. Sweepings from the floor of the factory or something.
they call Kaffir
Crown Sport, and they've got what is, let's be honest, a rip-off. It's a bit of a rip-off of the Adidas logo. However, it is in fact a registered trademark, and they make this a big deal because it says Kaffir Crown Sport is a registered trademark in EC number whatever. And then
they must have changed that just enough.
So yeah, it wasn't made in Portugal.
I'm just going to go into your late uncle's bathroom.
Yeah. Don't move anything. It's a shrine to him. But then it's the bit here that we spotted last night that there's an annotated diagram of a sock. They're really padding their part here. Self-adjusting cuff for perfect fit without slipping.
It's also known as elastic.
But then the typo is what makes it. At the back and the bottom of the sock, they have labelled the reinforced hell. Protects the foot against friction bruising from the shoe. reinforced hell, I think they need to get a proofreader onto that. I assume they
reinforced heel. Hell.
So, yeah, we reinforced spout socks. I've got a pair, you've got a pair. And we gave a pair away to a chap who excelled in our quiz because he was the only person who, seemingly off the top of his head, knew the registration number of James Bond's aquatic Lotus Esprit.
Yeah. We also gave away, there was a chap who turned up to the event for his on his 21st birthday.
Oh, yes.
Which I was so amazed at. And he did buy some merch, but you gave him a bottle of Brut. Maybe I gave him your bottle of Brut.
That's the bottle of Brut that we bought when we were down at Goodwood. I think we mentioned on the previous podcast.
Oh, yeah.
We did, didn't we? Because the last time we were together recording rather than
We were throwing it on.
We were slashing on the Brut. So I bought the Brut, splashed some on.
Yeah.
Then brought the bottle out while we were on stage. You splashed them on, and then we left it at the front of the stage and invited people to come and have a little dab. And a man came up immediately with quite amazing eagerness, splashed it on, and then went, "Oh, it's fresh," which is exactly what you always say about Brut. So, why we're not sponsored by Brut remains a mystery because we're doing Brut's own work.
It's
here.
Okay, and it's one of those things where it starts as a joke. And then you go, do you know what? Like a couple of days ago, it starts a joke. I've stopped using my other aftershaves and eau de toilette.
Well, it's like I said yesterday. I put some on. I slipped from joke to actually. I went to a meeting wearing some, and nobody mentioned it, which I think is the best outcome. It's just like, and I don't know whether they talk
behind my
back.
Because you smell fresh. I bet Jules says, "Oh, you smell fresh."
She didn't mention it. But,
which is probably okay.
Okay, yeah, but she would have, I don't know, it fades, doesn't it? Anyway, my bottle of Brut's now gone because we gave it to that chap whose birthday it was, and that's fair enough. And it was also quite depleted because lots of people have been
throwing it on.
Yeah. I don't know, I think that little show home office / scaled down Radio 1 Roadshow building might have to be
incinerated.
Incinerated, because it's going to smell quite heavily. There was spillage. That bit of grass that you spilled some on.
Yeah.
Is dead now.
He's no longer with us.
But anyway, so the brute was a hit, I think. We gave away some brutes. And what else happened? Oh, we're talking about... So I was going to say, though, apart from the amazing Sisson's Volvo, there was that chap who'd got that Renault 5 Turbo. Original Renault 5 Turbo.
A Renault 5 Turbo 2. And I'm going to read his name out because he's a very cool guy. Very interesting. His name's Andrew Berridge. He's native to Kent, where that show was.
Mm.
And his dad bought it 20 years ago, but it was highly modified when brand new.
Yeah.
So it had, what were the wheels? Were they PPJ? They weren't Gotti wheels. They were the period split rims with the rivets. But it had different upholstery.
Mm. It was leather, wasn't it?
Leather. And it had diagonal double coloured stripes.
Yeah, there was like sort
steering
of,
wheel.
Yes, and the gear knob. Super 80s design in the centre of the steering wheel.
And it had, I think it did have a sunroof, a pano roof. It had an aerial for a television, a boomerang aerial.
There's a TV in the dashboard.
It had a TV in it. Bear in mind, this was all fitted when this car was brand new. It also had, and I laughed straight away when he said it because I just couldn't believe it was real. There was a little panel. I don't know, about 4 inches square on the back of the bonnet. And he said, oh, yeah, that's where there's a fog machine.
Oh, was that what it was?
And
oh, my God.
And coloured disco lights. I went, what? He said, and I've got all the receipts for, you know, all this stuff being fitted to the car in period. I'm like, the person who bought this car, was it like Jean-Michel Jarre or something? What the hell was going on?
And, like, there's a sort of, normally on that car, I guess, there's a sort of, just a plastic strip runs across the front of the bumper with, I think, the sort of the indicators inset into it at either end.
Yeah.
But on this car, that had been replaced by a clear strip behind which there were sort of like 4 extra lights. All this work had gone into it. It's mad.
And now I know there's a big wave of nostalgia for sort of 90s cars, maybe early 2000s. But this was pinnacle 80s. I'm on my phone just quickly bringing up a picture because my brain is so fried. I'm just trying to remember. I took a picture of the interior of it.
Yeah, I did as well.
Here we go. Look at that.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, the sort of stripage going on the steering wheel.
It's just fabulous. Sort of black leather, but then with red piping.
Television. I think it's got. Yeah, it's got some sort of... Oh, it's got a lot of extra audio. Mm. Anyway, and the fact that it's a Renault 5 Turbo 2. So you had everything from that to the larder that I nearly sank.
And speaking of the 90s, and I was annoyed I didn't get to have a proper look at this, but there was an absolutely mint 1993, I think, first year of production, Mondeo.
Oh, there was a K-Reg.
GLX with those swirly wheel trims on.
Yeah. I know, again, probably one of the rarest cars at the
show. Yeah, and it was absolutely... I didn't get close to it, but it looked from a distance absolutely minty.
It really was proper...
Did
like,
you get to have a look?
I had a little look. Someone was talking to me at the time, so I didn't really get a proper look. But no, I was amazed, and I love the juxtaposition of that with Skylines.
Yeah.
And there was a guy with an Aston Vantage V12.
Yes.
And then someone next door with a Transit camper van. Did you see the Transit camper?
Yes.
Mark III.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said he bought it 6 years ago for £500.
Really?
And it still had all the fittings and proper like curtains like the ones behind you.
I was going to say, did it not? It was just a camper. It was basically a mobile version of this hotel room.
It was your late uncle's camper, is what you say. But no, it was so wonderful. I won't keep harping on about the live event, but obviously...
But it was good. It was really, really good fun. And it was really nice just to hang out with people who want to talk about cars and not feel any sort of shame or embarrassment about just wittering on about.
Yeah. And actually, there wasn't a supercar there. Unless you class the Aston... Was there a DB11 there?
No, I think it was just that V12. And then, we could argue all day about the GTR certainly has supercar performance, John. it was the eclecticness. And there was a guy, I was talking to a guy who'd got a Defender 110, and I was looking at it and I went, oh, is this a 200 or 300 TDI? And he went, oh, it was originally a 200 TDI, but it's got a 5.9 litre Cummins diesel engine in it now.
Wow.
And I went, is it quick? And his mate just went, like, and pulled a face. And
the what, guy like went, it was deadly?
Yeah, it's all right. Well, I think it had given him a bit of
a shock?
A shock, yeah.
Wow.
He said it's got, I think he said 150 horsepower, but 450 pound-foot of torque.
That's the thing, because it's a truck engine.
So it just gets rolling, and then it...
It's burnouts at 1,100 RPM.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. So... yeah, that was good. That was another highlight.
Sweet. Rover SD1 police car.
Rover SD1 police car. And
which is amazing.
Yeah, just so many nice things. It was really...
There is another one. We've committed to doing another one September the 11th in Leicestershire. We'd love you to go. Details on the website, latebreakshow.com. And I might see if I can persuade Richard to come to another one if he hasn't got too much...
I'd be there. No,
emotional
definitely.
Baggage. From yeah, the well,
it's
first
good
one.
You've timed it well because that could have been my wedding anniversary, but it's not. Well, because we were going to get married on September the 11th, and then of course my wife's American, and we were inviting lots of Americans over, and it felt like it was somehow wrong to do it on that date because it's obviously
yeah.
A particularly bad date for Americans. So yeah, it's September the 11th for a car event is perfect.
Well, that's what we're going to do. And so you're all welcomed.
Yeah, and I would heartily recommend it. I know it sounds like an awful plug, but it was really good fun. If you like cars and you like just hanging out, talking about cars and looking at interesting cars that are sort of not your normal kind of field of supercars.
You can't have we had a Hyundai Ioniq 5 there. First time it's been seen in public in a normal way, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, it was at Goodwood Festival of Seed.
Yeah.
And then the only other time it's been seen is with us. And it got driven to us. It wasn't on a transporter.
Was it?
It got driven.
Oh.
And it powered my son's air dancer.
I saw that, yeah.
He was insistent that I brought it down, despite the fact that we had no space to bring anything down. And my eyes were falling out because I was packing a... LEVC van.
There was some the logistics of packing up afterwards when everyone was very tired.
Oh, it's carnage.
It was a bit. Everyone kept their temper though, which was, I thought was good.
I
felt like it could have all kicked off, but it didn't. Particularly also because your wife.
My wife's
hobbling about, and it's very frustrating. Anyone who's ever bust their foot or their leg will know. It's that sort of loss of mobility. Frustrating.
After 18 months of people being locked in and not being able to do what they want to do and perhaps sensing a bit of doom and gloom about the world, I think that was, despite the fact it's the hardest time, I think, to even try to put an event on, we thought it was the right time to do it for that reason. So, hey, whatever.
I was just looking at my other things I wanted to mention to you, because someone said to me yesterday that there were a guy came over and he said he'd listened to the podcast and he said, oh, is that... you mentioned some bit we talked about. Anyway, I don't know if it's scripted or not. And I had to go, I absolutely promise you it's not scripted. I said, I'll show you how we work. And I showed him the notes in my phone where I just keep a little note of things that I want to mention to you because otherwise I'll forget them. And I just realised there's something that is slightly relevant because I mentioned before we went away and had a week on the Gower Peninsula staying in a friend's static caravan. And when we got there, in the corridor that ran between the sort of living area and the bedrooms, there's a little key, you know, four key hooks on the wall.
Yeah.
And on one of the hooks, there was a Ford key.
Folds.
One of the old school Chubb keys.
Yes, it's cylindrical with the...
Yeah, and then it was no remote fob, it's just a flat plastic. It
looks like a swordfish's
thing.
Nose.
Yes. And then, if people will be familiar with them, they have a little coloured insert in the top of the plastic finger hold bit.
Yeah.
That used to be red and then later it was blue, I think. Was blue the master key you had to keep safe in case you need to? It's where the chip was, I think, for the immobiliser.
Okay.
So it's got this blue thing on it. So it's your classic old school Ford key. But I don't know why it was there.
And it was in a holiday home.
Yeah, it's in my friend's static caravan.
So they found it on the beach.
Well. This is what I meant to ask him about it, but it seemed I never got the chance because it would have meant like ringing him or messaging him. But they don't have a Ford.
That's amazing.
They have a Kia. So what? Whose key was it? Yeah. Why is it there? It haunted me because I had to walk past it every day, and I was like, why is that there? Where has it come from?
That is weird.
Mystery key to a mystery Ford. But obviously, I mean, if you find a car key, you don't want to throw it away.
No,
because that could be the key to someone's car. But
I was thinking when I was on holiday the same week down in the Devon with the broken leg situation, just after my wife broke her leg, we'd already planned to, on the last day, go to the Model Village.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a massive fan, as you know, of Model Villages. And my wife agreed to soldier on regardless, to this very large 4-acre plot, Model Village.
4 acres?
4 acres. We're talking
scale?
Thousands of figurines. And what scale? Well, the cars that were on display were about 12 inches long maximum.
Okay.
Just to give you... So a typical house was probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 feet.
But because you sent me those pictures of...
Babbicombe Model Village. Look it up. Go on the website. Seriously, it's bloody brilliant. Built in 1963.
Really?
And... Yeah, and it just keeps getting better.
Was there a sort of boom time for model villages in Britain where there's loads of them got built?
Yeah, I think it was the 50s and 60s.
It feels quite 50s, doesn't it, in a way?
Yeah, it was one of those things where I suppose post-war, people wanting to encourage holidaymakers to come and have a jolly time. And there were a lot of engineers who might have retired post-war and gone, well, I'm going to move somewhere interesting and then I'm going to do something odd.
Mm.
And this guy actually built a model village. He built one in Southport up near Manchester, and then went down to Devon and found in Torbay a really nice, they call it a coombe or a little valley. So it's a 4-acre garden plot that is a sort of natural valley.
So what coombe means?
Yeah.
Oh.
A coombe is pretty much a small valley.
Oh.
So Ilfracombe, small valley.
You hear coombe a lot down that.
Yeah, it's very West Country. It's because I think West Country people just wouldn't accept the fact that it was just a small valley. We're calling it something else. We're going to say comb with an E.
Yeah, that's an upcountry word, that.
Yeah.
Valley.
I'm not having a valley.
Yeah.
On the way to the model village, I did laugh because we pulled up at the lights and right in front of us was a quite a good condition T-Reg Vauxhall Vectra.
Oh.
Which, again, I haven't seen a first-gen Vauxhall Vectra for a very long time.
No.
And the number plate was LOL at the end, so it was Vectra LOL.
Oh, you know, you saw ages ago. You saw a DES plate on a Mondeo, and then haven't we had an incident of another DES plate?
Yeah, I saw another DES plate on a Golf GTI being driven in DSG.
That's it. Yeah,
very hard
tromboning. And while we were away, I saw a double DES plate.
Double DES.
Double DES, and I can't remember how they'd achieved it, but it was DES. Well, DES, and there was all like DES. It was almost like DES for DES or something like that. But I think one of the DESs might have had a Z.
I would have.
And the other one was probably Irish. H5. I can't even. I cannot figure out now. Well, I don't want to give someone's plate away on in public. Although I suppose plates are in public, but might have been like DE54. Might have been how it was achieved.
DES.
But it was DES. Yeah, it was a double DES plate, and I was driving, so I couldn't take a picture
of
it.
Did you chuckle?
Like, yeah, I did. I chuckled a lot.
A double DES.
Well, I can't remember what car it was on. It was something fairly unremarkable. It was like a Kia Sportage or something. It wasn't. I mean, I don't know why you think it would be on a remarkable car. Like it was on a Tommaso Mangusta or something. But
double DES.
the picture you sent me from the model village of a used car lot.
Oh yeah.
Was it the used car lot where there was a used car lot and there was a Sierra.
Yes.
Because that's always right. I like model villages.
There was a Russ T. Sills car sales.
Yeah.
And did I send you the one of the bloke polishing the car?
Polishing the car, and it was motorised.
And it was all animated. And it was sensor activated. So if you walked up to it, went, "Oh no, my lovelies, I'm just polishing the car." And it was an Audi A8.
It had a voice.
Yeah, it was voiced. Hang on. Oh, I've got a video of it. I can probably play it to you if the microphone's working.
That's just strange.
I know. Well, the whole thing's strange.
It's all strange. I like a model village. Who does?
Why? What? Who is it? He's got a very, very...
Seems like my arms are about to drop off. Promise
you'd give
me a hand.
Yeah.
Give him a shout if you find him.
What?
Yeah, brilliant.
It's just brilliant.
What? That's just...
It's just brilliant. What, his face is... The
jaw's moving.
But he's got a sort of lion face.
Oh, yeah, he's got the face of a lion. Yeah, he has got the face of a lion. He looks like the sort of person that would have done the Scrap Heap Challenge many years ago. You know, sort of quite sort of like Father Christmas, but with Gearbox Oil.
Yeah, sort of Father Christmas meets Kenny Rogers.
Yes, it is Kenny Rogers
meets
back.
Gearbox Oil.
Yeah,
but a man who's got a Kenny Rogers face but rubs Gearbox Oil.
I do
his
like
beard.
A sort of West Country Kenny Rogers.
Yeah, look. Affable.
Yeah, do you know the one thing I did realise about, and I got to see my parents when we went down to the Southwest. Well, I haven't been to see them in a year. The moment has come, Rich. It's actually quite sad. The realisation has come that all these years since I left home in, 1998, I'd always go down to Somerset. As soon as I go over the county border, I would have 24 hours before I would see an Orion or a Sierra. I've probably told you this before.
Yeah,
it was always my little thing of like, this is how the West Country is.
Yeah.
And I spoke to a few people who knew that this was the thing. You'd always see one.
Mm.
This year, or maybe last year, it's the end of it. I did not see a Sierra or an Orion within 24 hours of being in Somerset. And I'm really pissed off. I think maybe the Vectra has taken over.
Well, I was going to ask about this Vectra, because was it being driven as a novelty item?
No.
Or was it just someone's car?
No, it was a guy that looked like Kenny Rogers,
right,
actually.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah,
so.
That's just his car. It's not like he's gone, oh, I've got a retro classic.
Oh, no,
classic.
It's not chod value type stuff. It's like, oh, look, I've got a base model. No, it's just a guy in a Vectra.
Oh, hey, yesterday, I can't remember how it came up. We were talking about, you described as one step removed from deceased spec, which is had to stop driving.
Because, yeah.
And because I've trapped my wife under the jazz.
I know.
But I forgot to tell you, I was going to message you, and I think I forgot to take a picture of it. So we were staying in a friend's static caravan, and there's some other friends of ours have a place there on the same site.
Oh.
They've had it for years. My friend Becky, she used to go there as a kid because her parents, who grew up in South Wales, had a caravan there in the 80s. And so she sort of carried on the family lineage. Her and her husband had bought a place down there 10 years ago. And so she was there. Her husband, Will, who's a mate of mine, was working. So he wasn't there. She was there with the kids in her 1980s Nissan Micra automatic.
What? A K10?
K10.
Auto?
36,000 miles on it.
Is that a car they keep down there?
No. She inherited that car from, it was actually her husband's aunt, I think, had to stop driving. And it's funny because I saw it and I was like, wait a minute, I thought it was my friend Will's mum's old car, because she used to have a Micra back when I used to live in Birmingham. They're from Birmingham.
Yeah, when they were quite new.
And Will's mum is hilarious. And she was going, that car's dangerous. That Micra's dangerous. It's too slow. William, I need a faster car. And it's like,
well, because it is slow.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Auto Micra. So
pre-16 valve, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. But no, it turns out it's a different branch of the family, and it's one step off deceased spec. But it's immaculate. It's got one of those dealer-fit sunroofs.
Oh.
And
she needs to absolutely drown that in cavity wax.
I don't. Well, that's the thing. I was going to say, I don't think she cares.
I'd do it for her.
Well, I'll offer.
That sounds wrong.
Because that's the thing. The trouble is, she just uses it mostly around Birmingham where they live, but then they spend the summer, quite a lot of the summer, down by the seaside.
So she drives it all the way down there.
Yeah. She said it's great because no one gives you any hassle. You just drive really slowly because you have to. And,
yeah,
I love that. But now she's got three kids, but her two boys are teenagers. And they're putting quite a lot of weight into that car. They're massive. They've done that thing that teenage boys do where they suddenly go huge, like become like prop forwards.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. I haven't seen them for ages. And I was suddenly like, oh my God, adults. And so they're putting quite a lot of weight in that. Poor Micra now.
I think she's going to need to. She might need to port the head of that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. What about an engine swap?
Just put a K12 motor in it.
Yeah.
That'd be really nice.
But I suppose that's an old school auto in that, whereas the newer Micra is a CVT, aren't they? So you might have to do a full box swap as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's all right. It's all doable for a mere 30,000 pounds. But yeah, it's incredible. What is it? It's a stop driving.
Had to
spec.
Stop driving. So HTS.
SD. HTSD.
Yeah.
HTSD spec.
You've got HTSD.
Yeah. Yeah, it's terribly sad. My grandfather's got HTSD. He's,
what? Was he in a conflict?
No, HTSD. He had to stop driving.
Yeah, because unfortunately. Well, I bought a. I bought a Mark I Golf off someone who, a very early Mark I Golf, off an old person who'd used the edges of the garage to get it into the garage for the last couple of years. So all the sides of it were scrunched and minorly, the arches were flattened, but because
of, that's, who, oh, I know.
So it was a fundamentally good car with history, it ran well, but it had been scrunched both sides regularly.
There's
and then had to stop driving spec.
There's a car journo. Do you know a guy called Dan Bevis?
Who
He was telling me about his grandmother's Micra that had it had a few sort of scuffs, I think, but then it had this very weird sort of hemisphere dent in the tailgate, and they couldn't figure out what it was.
Hemispherical dent.
Yeah, but it was sort of and then they worked out. I think it was. When she went to the supermarket, she always parked in the same place, and there was like a trolley thing, and she was just constantly backing
into it. It's like a rounded handle.
Yeah, I'll probably get the story wrong. Dan, if you're listening, I apologise for mistelling your excellent story, but he sent it to me.
Can I just say also, you guys do send us some hilarious emails of anecdotes.
Oh,
and
yes.
We welcome them. We don't check them as often as we should do.
Well, we do. I mean, we do read them, and I check the emails every day, and I do read them. It's just that it's whether I get to reply or not. It depends how busy I am.
Yeah.
But we've had so many emails about cars, driveways. I'll start that again. Households with identical cars or near identical cars. So many. I mean, more than we could read out in a whole show. And then yesterday at the live event, I met a couple who.
Have the same car?
Have the same car.
Same colour?
Yes, Focus STs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but... so she got one, and then his car had to go into the garage, and he borrowed it, and then sort of like...
It's been like this.
Yeah, and so he had to get one.
It's amazing.
And but hers has got stripes on it, apparently.
What? I don't know if ever one day me and my missus would do that. I can't see it happening, but...
I found this, the message from Dan, by the way, to do it justice. He said, my granny didn't learn to drive until she was in her 70s. After granddad died, she wanted a bit of independence. And his slightly haggard, although still pretty new, K11 Micra was sitting unused. Somewhat amazingly, she passed her test.
Amazing.
Oh, that's a guess, because that's it. He was previously telling me about his granddad was an incredibly erratic driver. Driver, yeah. I won't read that bit out, but because it's a brilliant story, we'll save it. But his grandma passed her test, and all those years of seeing him bouncing off random cars had given her a similarly devil may care attitude. One dent in particular was cause for concern. There was a crater in the tailgate which seemed to have changed size and shape every time we went to visit. She denied all knowledge of it. It became a bit of a running joke. Then sometimes later, my aunt accompanied her on a trip to the local Tesco. Granny reverse parked into a trolley bay, clattering the back of the car into a pole. We then learned that was precisely where and how she always parked.
So it's the same pole?
Yeah.
Wow.
Creating this sort of constantly morphing dent on the tailgate, depending, I suppose.
Oh my gosh.
Slight shifts in exactly where she parked. But
yeah. I'm not going to name any names, but I found out a few days ago that a mate of mine's dad's partner, she has a 2016 Mini and a manual gearbox Mini. Mm. And he started the conversation with, because this reminded me, you know when people shouldn't drive a manual anymore and they should maybe go to auto or just stop driving? And I was like, yeah, I'm fully aware of that. Because actually, up the cul-de-sac where I grew up, where my folks still live, there was a bloke with a Maestro that me and my brother used to call Clutch Smearer. he'd back off his drive. He'd just hold it at 4,000 RPM, and he would lift the clutch really slowly, really, really slowly. Like it was a centrifugal, you know, like a mower or something. The harder you rev, the more it picks up. It was like that. You'd smell clutch smoke horrible. At our house, which is about 200 metres from his house.
Did you initially think, I didn't know they put a CVT in the Maestro, and then you realise it was...
And from cold.
Why are the revs not matching the speed of the car?
From cold. So you can imagine the clutch had a sheen on it, like a balloon.
It goes through me, that kind of... there's someone in my neighbourhood, I haven't figured out who it is, but every morning, quite early, well, sort of, you know, just at the time when we're kind of waking up, I hear a car going up our street and then turning the corner near our house. But as they make the turn, they seem to always have just changed up, but then they need to reduce speed. And rather than changing down again, they just slip the clutch. And it drives me bananas.
That's just not driving.
It's horrible.
Simply not driving.
But there was a guy, because I grew up on a cul-de-sac as well, and at the bottom of our street, there was a chap called Ian Livingston, a redoubtable Scotsman who was a bit of a Vauxhall loyalist. And he used to, by the time, so he'd back out of his driveway at the bottom of the street, as he passed our house, he should have been in second by then. He was always in first still, so slightly over revving a cold car. And
cold.
The reason was because, for inexplicable reasons known only to Ian Livingston, he would be putting his seatbelt on as he passed our car house.
Why, just leave it in first?
Well, yeah, but it's like, why didn't you put your belt on when you got in the car and set off? But no, he'd have got in the car, reversed out of his drive, and then turned up the street. And then, only then, when he was pointing in a straight line, would he then go through the process. And he was quite a big guy, and latterly he had a Nova. So it's quite a small car. So it was almost like a bit of a wrestling match for him to try and reach
the
belt.
Big small car.
Yeah, and he'd be putting the belt on, which would mean he hadn't got any spare hands to change gear. So he'd just be... And then you'd hear it changing. You'd go, oh, the belt's on and he's off.
Oh, awful.
But awful. You just go, just put the belt on when you get in the car. It was like a standing joke in our house. Oh, there's old Ian putting his belt on again.
Well, this mate of mine's dad's partner, she has this 2016 Mini. She drove it into town and then went back a different route because she got distracted. And then just, I think, had a mild panic of like, I just don't know where I am. Mm. So tried to do a 3-point turn and burnt the clutch out of this 2016 Mini by doing a 3-point turn. Oh. Apparently he thinks that she panicked and had the car on the limiter and was just sort of reversing and then going forwards and then reversing while it was on the limiter.
The smell.
Oh,
I mean,
so
the
clutch
smell.
Went bang. Yeah. The car went straight to the dealer.
Yeah.
Had the clutch done. Okay. Mm. Which cost about, I don't know, £1,000 or maybe more. She got it back, but I shit you not, because I said to him, I don't believe you. He said, honestly, I can phone my dad now. He said, 2 weeks later, she did the same thing again and took a different turn and had another panic attack. She burnt the clutch out with such gusto it destroyed
Holy
the dual mass flywheel.
Because I was going to say, I bet the clutch is the reason the clutch went during the 3-point turn was because it's had months and years of abuse. But no, she can do a clutch in one 3-point turn.
She did another. So she's had two clutches and a dual mass flywheel in the equivalent of about 100 miles.
That's just, you should have to retake
it. It's catastrophic. My old man still had the Avenger on the first clutch when it was 17 years old. He was very proud of that.
I just remembered my mum had a friend when in sort of late 80s. There was a friend of my mum's called Rita, who was a lovely lady, and she was sort of classic empty nester. Her kids had grown up. And so she bought herself, or they'd bought her and her husband, a Honda CRX.
Nice.
Yeah, nice car at times. Well, the sort of second generation, sort of slightly softer edges. It's a really nice looking car.
Yeah.
And quite racy, you know. It was like,
Rita's
got a CRX. But I think it was her that was responsible for that car constantly needing new clutches. And it turned out because she used to hold it on hills on the clutch at traffic lights.
Oh, shit, no.
I know.
I mean, what's going on?
I know.
These are the people that do need a DSG trombone, don't they? They really
do. That's the thing. It's like, I overheard you having a conversation with someone yesterday about there's no shame in having an automatic.
No, there isn't.
It's just, if it's for every day. Oh, we were talking to your friend who's been helping us out, weren't we? Because I think she's thinking about changing her
car.
It's
the fit for purpose thing.
Yeah, and it's just like, why? If you're just driving your ordinary everyday car and you're not a particularly keen driver, just get a bloody auto.
In fact, my brother drew my attention to this ages ago, you know, when we were in our like early 20s, because he was going through his like 80s Mercedes phase and got me into W123s. And when I found one that was a manual one, so I went, Greg, I found a manual Merc. It got me ready. He went, why bother? and I said, well, because it's a manual. He went, yeah, but have you driven one of those Merc manuals?
Yeah.
And I went, no. He went, well, they're not a very good manual gearbox. He said, it's not a manual car. And I remember him saying that, and I went, what do you mean it's not a manual car? And then basically what he said is, it's just a car that's built so much better to accept an auto, because just the driving style, the softness of it all, the relaxation. He's like, why would you?
I found for sale this week, last week, a Mercedes 190. 2.6.
Oh.
Mm, straight six.
Yes,
but it's a manual.
Yeah, no,
that's
that
a
might
rare
be right
car.
As a man, as an Italian weighted gearbox, might be good.
I don't know, though, because it would just be... I mean, I know that they're one of those cars where it's 2.6 litre straight six, and I don't know, I bet it made like 150 horsepower.
It won't be fast.
It won't be fast, so why not just embrace it and have the auto on it?
it'll be creamy.
The thing is that this car had also been comprehensively ruined by some previous or current owner with, like, you know, one of those Merc grills that's got the big star in the middle, but that's not how they did it.
Oh, like a rude boy Mercs. Was it rude Mercs?
Yeah, but this wasn't, they hadn't like put a sort of SEC style long, you know, horizontal grill with a star in the middle. They just got the same style of basically square old school Mercedes grill, but put a new insert in it with a star. And it was white, and it got a boot spoiler, and it's just, they looked like toss, and it looked like it had been lowered as well. But the fact it was a 2.6 manual did pique my interest a bit. So, yeah. We've been talking for quite a while.
Have we? I hadn't noticed.
We could go on about clutch slip all day, but we probably should wrap this up. I'm reaching for my phone because, as I was showing someone yesterday, I keep a little list of trivial facts.
Can I give you a fact?
We won't talk about this. I've written it in my phone, but we'll talk about it next time. World's strongest fly tipper that we were talking about last
Oh, night. Gosh, yeah, we were laughing.
Throwing bags of masonry overhead. We'll do that another time. all right. Well, look, thank you for listening to this. If you want to drop us a line, hello@smithandsniff.com is our email address. Or you can reach us through our Patreon if you are one of our patrons. And thank you if you are.
Yeah.
Thank you to everybody who came to the Late Break Show Live yesterday, which was tremendous. And it was really nice to meet a load of people who listened to the show. So if you're one of those people that we spoke to who expressed their enthusiasm for this podcast, thank you for listening, and yeah. And thank you for coming to the show. Before we go, I've got three things to tell you. One of them is that Johnny has a solo YouTube channel called The Late Break Show, but you probably know that by now, and has another live show coming up next month, September the 11th in Leicestershire.
You are.
Two, I've got various books going out, have them.
Or out.
I'm really tired still. I've got a book called Medium-Sized Book of Boring Car Trivia, but again, you probably knew that. And thank you to all the people yesterday who brought their copies along and asked me to sign them. Felt like a proper
Did you draw thing. Any dicks?
No, but there's a whole separate thing there with Noel Huggett, a listener who got us both to draw cock and balls in one of those car pervert
well
notebooks
done, though,
you
Noel.
Were selling. I know,
fair play.
Very strange. It's the strangest thing I've been asked to do since I did a signing for another book that I did ages ago, and a bloke asked me to sign it for his friend, and when I said, what should I put? He went, Uke, and then the C-bomb.
Oh, no.
And then signing him, I was like, I'm not putting that. And you're like, what if he doesn't like it? Oh, no, he'll like it. And it was a bit of an argument.
Was he a children's entertainer? Who was a clown?
Yeah, it was a disgruntled clown. What's the third thing I've got to tell you? Lots of famous actors appeared pre-fame in Miami Vice, including Bruce Willis, Julia Roberts, Chris Rock, Ben Stiller, Steve Buscemi, Liam Neeson, Helen Bonham Carter, Wesley Snipes, Ving Rhames, and Ian McShane.
What?
Yeah. Well, Ian McShane's a bit famous by then, but he appeared in Miami Vice. They also had lots of musicians as guest stars, including Willie Nelson, Phil Collins, Little Richard, Leonard Cohen, James Brown, Miles Davis, Frank Zappa, Gene Simmons, Sheena Easton, Glenn Frey, Frankie Valli, Eartha Kitt, and John Taylor from Duran Duran.
All in Miami Vice?
All in Miami Vice. Miami Vice was an absolute... I don't know what the word is. I was going to say shit show, but that seems rude. But they had loads of like famous people guest starring, but not playing themselves, like when, you know, Boy George is in the A-Team.
Gene Simmons appearing on Miami Vice.
Look it up, because he's obviously not got the makeup on, because that would be weird if he's playing a drug baron or something. But he played a baddie, I think.
Box set I'd like to watch now.
I know. You sort of realise it was actually kind of quite ahead of its time. Probably looks incredibly dated now, though, because it is 30, 40 years old.
Oh, but there's so much surplus linen.
Yeah.
That's another conversation.
Yeah. Anyway, well, that's that for this, but we'll see you for another podcast when we're a bit less croaky and tired.
We'll see you on the other side
of things. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Recording, testing the recording, speaking here to you now.
Do you want to know something else that you might find hard to believe? That's what? A much better bathroom than the one in our own house. And that's what makes it all the more depressing.
Well, the loo doesn't try to smash you on the bell end.
Oh, yeah.